Now there are two main reasons that the story of Gideon appeals to me. One of them is that he kept putting out fleeces to God. The expression to put out a fleece has come into our vocabulary because of Gideon. It happened this way. God told Gideon that he would deliver Israel from her enemies by the hand of Gideon. Now, Gideon wasn't too sure he had heard God correctly. I can appreciate that here were literally thousands of Midianites with just a few Israelis. And he is to lead them out to fight. And I could understand that he might question that. So he gave God a test. He put out a fleece. Now, a fleece is just a piece of lamb's skin with the wool still on it. So he puts out this piece of skin, this fleece, and he says to God, God, if you really mean to deliver Israel by my hand, in the morning let this fleece, this piece of wool, be wet with dew, and all around it for the ground to be dry. Well, next morning Gideon wrung out enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. And the ground around it was completely dry. But you know, that didn't satisfy Gideon. So he put out the fleece, this piece of wool, a second time. And he said, now, Lord, if you really mean to deliver Israel from her enemies by my hand, this time in the morning let the fleece be dry and let the ground around it be covered with dew. Sure enough, next morning the ground was soaking wet with dew, and the fleece was dry. So that is how the expression of putting out a fleece came into our vocabulary. It is asking God at some important juncture in your life, when it is imperative for you to know the absolute will of God, it's a way to ask God to give you a sign so that you will know that you are in His will. Now, one of the reasons the story of Gideon is so precious to me has to do with my marriage to my wife, Sydney. After my first wife died with cancer, I fell in love with Sydney. But there were some things that troubled me about our relationship. For one thing, there was a considerable difference in our age. She's a lot older than I am. Actually, it's the other way. For another, she was a member of the church, and to transition from being a member of the church to being the wife of the senior pastor is a big step for anybody. So for her sake, for the sake of the congregation, for my sake, we couldn't afford to make a mistake about our relationship. And when you're in love, it's easy to make mistakes. So like Gideon, I began to put out fleeces to the Lord. As a matter of fact, I put out so many fleeces, I made Gideon look like a piker. But just as God confirmed Gideon, He confirmed me, and over 11 years later, I can look back and see how His hand was on Sydney and me to bring us together. The last fleece I put out to God was this. She owned a little home, and it was during 1974, and we were having quite a recession, if you will remember. You could hardly give a house away, let alone sell it. Now, she and her mother were both in real estate, and they agreed that X dollars was a good price. But I said, no, I want you to put it on the market for X dollars plus. And then I said to God, now, Lord, this is absolutely my last fleece. If I'm really in your will, I want the house to sell immediately for full price. Well, they put it on the market and had an open house. And that night they had not one, not two, but three contracts, two of them for full price, one of them for cash. And the little lady who bought it, when they closed on the deal, said to them, you know, I just felt like God was leading me to buy that house. Little did she know. Now, the second reason that the story of Gideon appeals to me is because God took 300 Israelites and put a huge multitude to flight. The Bible says that the enemy was like grasshoppers for multitude, and that they had so many camels you couldn't count them, because, as the Bible says, they were as sand which is upon the seashore for multitude. And yet, in spite of being outnumbered hundreds to one, Gideon and his 300 brave men triumphed. You see, a mount didn't count. Let me review briefly for us the story of Gideon. The land of Israel was frequently overrun by the Midianites. They were wandering, nomadic people who lived in the desert and who were bandits and robbers. They would come in to plunder the farms, they would steal the livestock, and they would come in after the wheat was harvested and steal the wheat. So God called Gideon to rally the people to defend themselves against this invasion. Now, the only problem was the enemy that invaded Israel was rather large, so much so that the Bible described them as being like grasshoppers for the multitude of them. And yet, when Gideon rallied the Jews to do combat, God began the process of reducing Gideon's troops to a mere 300 men. However, perhaps you remember the plan God gave Gideon. Each of the 300 men was given a torch, which he hid under a pitcher to shield its light, and a trumpet. Then late at night, they encircled the camp of the Midianites, and at a signal, they broke the pitchers, and the lights were revealed, and each one then began to blow a trumpet. And as you know, only a squad of men had a trumpet. So here you are, wakened in the middle of the night, surrounded by lights, surrounded by the blowing of trumpets. There must be thousands of soldiers out there, and in the dark, you begin to run about and fight, and you begin to kill each other. In the confusion, they fled into the night in complete disarray. They were defeated and routed without Gideon or his men even lifting a sword. Now, the point I want to make in our sermon this morning is this. A mount just doesn't count when you are being obedient to God. Let me give you an illustration. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness desert, you would not have thought that this ragtag group of ex-slaves had much of a future. They would never amount to very much. After all, they were leaving the cultural center of the world. They were leaving the power and prestige of an empire behind them. And yet the fact is, the future of the world did not lay with that mighty empire. I've been to Egypt and seen its ruins. I have seen the Valley of the Kings, the Temple at Karnak, the pyramids, and all the evidences of what was once a great civilization. And yet the fact is, the future lay with those fleeing slaves. Did you realize that? Out of them was to come a spiritual heritage that was to shape the very course of human history. You see, a mount didn't count when they were being obedient to God. Recently, this congregation voted to leave the largest Presbyterian denomination in America and to affiliate with a small new group that called itself the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And that tiny new denomination, with less than 100 congregations, with less than 25,000 members, through that small group, I believe, God is beginning to do a marvelous work. For example, in Brazil, God is opening the door to the Evangelical Presbyterian Church to work in South America. He's already opening a door in Argentina for us to begin a work there. Isn't that just amazing? God isn't concerned with numbers. God doesn't care about bigness. God is interested in faithfulness. And if we are faithful to God, amount doesn't count. In my heart, I am convinced that God has raised up the Evangelical Presbyterian Church for a special purpose in America. This country is desperately in need of a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival. Always, in times past, when revival has swept the land, it has always begun with the Presbyterians. And as you've heard me say, it's probably because if God can get the Presbyterians moving, He can get anybody moving. But I'm convinced that this little denomination may be the key, the catalyst, for a new revival, a new spiritual revolution in this land. Do you remember the story of the Protestant Reformation? During the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church had become very corrupt and was desperately in need of reforming and renewal. One lone man rebelled against that sick system. The power of the church, combined with the power of the Roman Empire, with the civil government, finally brought this one lone man to bay and demanded that he recant all of his claims upon pain of death. But Martin Luther was being true to God. He replied, "Here I stand, I can do no other, God help me." Standing against the emperor, standing against the pope, standing against the might and power of an empire, one lone man. And yet he unleashed the Protestant Reformation, that is the seedbed of the Renaissance, the seedbed of the Industrial Revolution, and of so many things today that we take for granted. When he was being true to God, amount didn't count. Does that begin to make some sense to you? It is just amazing how much power comes into our lives when we put ourselves in the middle of God's will. Now, people outside the Christian faith just can't understand that. But the truth is, Jesus made us an incredible promise. He said that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon us. Did you young people know that? That when you open your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, He puts His Spirit inside of you, and you have within you the very power of God at work. Jesus said that the power of the Spirit would come upon us. He said to His disciples, "Not many days hence you shall be endued with power from on high." And when God was sending Gideon out in the face of impossible odds, Gideon said, "How can I deliver Israel?" Well, he couldn't. And the Lord responded, "But I will be with you." Well, that's God's promise to you. When you are in His will, when you're doing what God wants you to do, He gives you a promise. He says, "I will be with you." And that's exactly the same promise we find in the New Testament. Toward the end, when His crucifixion was drawing near, Jesus said to His disciples, "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you." And that's exactly what God said to Gideon. He said, "I will be with you." Did you realize that? When you're in the will of God, He puts His Spirit in you. He gives you power beyond anything you have ever experienced before. No amount doesn't count when you're in the will of God. Are you in God's will this morning? Young person, wife, husband, grandfather, grandmother, are you in the will of God this morning? For example, are you in the will of God with your financial resources, your material possessions? How much you give isn't important. What is important is being obedient to God's word about tithing. Amount doesn't count. What counts is obedience. Are you in God's will when it comes to how you relate to your family, to your brother, your sister, your parents, your children, to your job, to your neighbor? All God asks for is obedience. All He asks for is faithfulness. And when you are in the will of God, amount doesn't count. When you take what you have and give your best to God, amount doesn't count. See how it works. One of my favorite stories I read in Reader's Digest some years ago, and I may have told this before, but if I did, it's worth repeating. Charlie Jones was a truck driver in Houston, Texas. Charlie had lost his little girl when his home had caught on fire and she had burned to death. There was born an abiding hatred of fire in the heart of Charlie Jones. About a year later, when he was returning in his truck to Houston, he came upon an accident. A 14-wheel vehicle had piled into a huge oak tree. The cab was crumpled and the driver was trapped. The police were on the scene, a wrecker was there, and three other trucks trying to pull the cab apart to free the man, without success. Suddenly flames began to lick about, and it appeared with no fire extinguisher there that the driver would be burned to death. It was then that Charlie Jones put himself at the disposal of God, when he opened his life to the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. With his bare hands, he literally ripped the door off of that cab. He reached in and with his hands, he bent up the steering wheel. With his bare hands, he practically tore out as he bent the pedals to free the feet of the man. He worked his way in and with his back pushed up the top of the crumpled cab and freed the driver. A deputy sheriff said, "If I hadn't witnessed it, I would never believe a lone man could do a job that we couldn't do with three trucks and a wrecker." When Charlie Jones was interviewed, he just said, "A man don't know what he can do until he sees somebody else a hurting." You see, amount doesn't count when you're giving your best to God. Who knows what power lies hidden in you? Who knows what intellectual resources you might have when they're surrendered to God and put in His will? Who knows what spiritual gifts you may have when you let God's Spirit control your life? A couple of years ago, Catherine Marshall passed away. She wrote some of the best books I've ever read. Her book, A Man Called Peter, has become an American classic. When she died, there was a letter on her desk from me inviting her to come and speak here at Central. She is a friend going back some years. Her secretary wrote me and said, "Catherine would want me to write you and let you know she can't be there. She's gone home to be with Jesus." When Peter Marshall died, she was desolate. But she put herself in the will of God, in His hands, and in 9 months' time, she had produced that book, A Man Called Peter. You see, amount doesn't count when you're in the will of God, putting yourself at His disposal. When you look at Central, a relatively small congregation, when you compare us to this metropolitan area of 2.5 million people, you would not think that we could do much. Yet when we are in the will of God, amount doesn't count. I'm just thrilled to tell you that last Monday night, your officers, your elders, voted to enter a major over and above campaign this spring for this congregation to raise an additional $1 million, most of which will go out in the county to start two new Evangelical Presbyterian Church congregations. When you look at the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, with less than 100 congregations in the whole nation, you would not suspect that it would be able to have much impact. But when you're where God wants you to be, when you are in His will, amount doesn't count. And so it is with you. You put yourself at God's disposal, and amount won't count. You see, God can do incredible, wonderful, amazing, marvelous things through you. See how it works. One of the greatest religious writers of this century was Fulton Osler, who gave us such books as The Greatest Story Ever Told. At the age of 30, Osler was a self-styled agnostic who believed there was no absolute right or wrong. Everything was relative. He did not believe in anything approaching the supernatural. He once wrote, "I sneered at God as an elaborate self-deception and did all I could to tear down the faith of those close to me." Yet the day came when Fulton Osler was out of a job, his health failing him, his marriage in deep trouble. He was absolutely helpless to do anything for himself. At the end of his rope, he ventured into a church. He tells us what happened this way. He began to pray, and this was his prayer: "Lord, in 10 minutes or less, I may change my mind. I may scoff at this and love error again. Lord, pay no attention to me then. For this little time, I am in my right mind and my right heart. This is my best. Take it and forget the rest. And if you are really there, help me. Yes, this is my best. Take it and forget the rest. And out of that experience, he went on to make a massive contribution to the religious faith of millions when he gave his best to God. Amount didn't count. Let me ask you a question. Have you offered your best to God? Have you tried as best you know to put your life in the middle of His will? You see, when you do that, you do not need to worry about the outcome. Know when you are in the will of God, amount doesn't count. In your marriage, are you in God's will? In your job, are you doing what God wants you to do? In your giving, are you in God's will? In area after area of your life, are you in the will of God? In this moment, right now, will you offer Him the best that you have? Will you say, Lord, this is my best. Take it and forget the rest. You see, when you do that, you can always beat the Midianites in your life and in the world. Because you see, amount doesn't count. Let us pray.